This morning, if you're not aware, we're again continuing our series that we kicked off a few weeks ago titled, What is Foursquare? Right? We are Dallas Foursquare Church. And the question is, what is a Foursquare Church? What does it mean to be part of the International Church of the Foursquare Gospel? That's the actual title of our denomination. What does it mean to be a part? What are the core foundations that make Foursquare a denomination that we would want to be a part of, that we would be excited to be a part of? Well, that's what this series is about. It's designed to help us better understand who we are and what we believe as a Foursquare Church. Now, a few weeks ago, we began this series, and I share that one of the cornerstones at Angelus Temple, which is the very first Foursquare Church that launched in 1923, 100 years ago, down in L.A., that on that cornerstone, and it's still there today, is an inscription that says, "Dedicated unto the cause of interdenominational and worldwide evangelism." And so as we talk about who we are as Foursquare this morning, in no way do we claim to be better than any other denomination or church out there. We are simply one denomination that is seeking to partner with other denominations. That's the interdenominational aspect, to partner with other denominations and with other believers and churches to see His kingdom extended throughout the world. Now, with that said, like any denomination, we do have certain doctrine and distinctives that make up who we are. And that's where we're going to dive into today. That's what this series is about. So when you walk up the stairs here into our church, as you begin to head into the sanctuary, you see on the wall there, we've talked about this a few weeks ago, you see on the wall the four squares and then our denominational scripture. And those four squares on the wall, they represent what we believe to be the fourfold gospel of Jesus Christ. And it comes from a message that our founder, Amy Semple McPherson, shared years ago in the very beginning that is based off of a prophecy from Ezekiel, from the book of Ezekiel. And it's from that prophecy that she spoke this message of the fourfold gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is where we get our four squares. And those four squares represent our belief that Jesus Christ is our Savior. Jesus Christ is our baptizer of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is our healer. And Jesus Christ is our soon and coming King. 2 weeks ago, we started our series by really kind of taking a broad look at all of these truths. But there were a few, if you remember, I didn't go real in-depth into because I knew that we were going to take some time to get into them a little deeper later on. And last week, we dove into the second truth, which is the fact that Jesus Christ is our baptizer of the Holy Spirit. And we dove so deep last week that I couldn't finish all that needed to be said in just 1 week. As a matter of fact, I realized this week as I dove into it again that I couldn't say all that needed to be said in just 2 weeks. And so it's becoming a three-part series of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so this is part two of three as we continue to look at the fact that Jesus Christ is our baptizer of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to start this morning with just a little review of last week for those of you that weren't here. But if you missed last week, I'd encourage you to go and to watch it or listen to it online because there are so many important things that I shared last week that I won't be able to touch fully on today, okay? I'll give you little glimpses of it, but I won't be able to go in as in-depth as I did last week. And so I encourage you to go back and listen to it if you miss, especially if you call Dallas Foursquare Church your home. But let's begin this morning by taking a few minutes to review last week and just kind of remind us of what we talked about when it comes to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, again, I shared that we first hear this idea of being baptized in the Holy Spirit from John the Baptist. And I read to you Matthew 3:11, where he says to some of his followers, "I baptize you with water for repentance. But after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." So we see here that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is different than water baptism. John the Baptist, he did water baptism, right? It's what we do up here when we bring our big tank in here and we baptize people in water. His baptism was a baptism of repentance. It's this outward expression of an inward change that has happened in our lives. We're repenting and realizing our need for a Savior. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit is different. It's actually an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in and through our lives, which enables us to be able to operate in the power of the Spirit, the same power that Jesus operated in when he was here on this earth. Listen to that. We have the ability to operate in the same power that Jesus operated in here on this earth. And we shared last week that the disciples, they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit after Jesus had left, after Jesus had ascended back into heaven to be with the Father. And when he left, he had told them some things to do. And so the disciples did what Jesus had told them to do. They went and they waited in Jerusalem for God to give them a gift, right? Jesus said, "I'm going to give you a gift. Go and wait." And so they did. They were obedient. And in Acts 2, they receive the gift. It's in Acts 2 where we read where the Holy Spirit fell on the believers that were gathered together there in the upper room. And I want to read to you real quick a part of what we read last week. In Acts 2, 3, and 4, it says, "They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them," everybody that was there, all 120 of them, "were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them." It was in that moment that everything changed for anyone who calls themselves a believer. Because no longer was God this distant God that only spoke through prophets and kings and priests. We talked about how that was in the Old Testament. After the fall, God only spoke through specific people, prophets, kings, and priests. No longer is that true. When the Spirit fell upon them, it was in this moment that it went from God out there to now God in here, in us. It was in that moment that the power of the Holy Spirit was poured out into all who believed. And like Paul talks about in 1 Colossians, we shared this scripture last week. God chose, he chose to make known that this glorious mystery, that's what it talks about in Colossians, this mystery. What's the mystery? It's the power of the Holy Spirit. And what did he say? I love it. He says, which is, what's the Holy Spirit? It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. God wants to pour out his Spirit upon each of us, just like he did the disciples. Why? So that we, all of us, when I say we, I'm not just saying, well, yeah, me, I'm the pastor. Right? All of us. He wants to pour out his Spirit upon all of us so that we can be the hope of glory to those around us, to our family members, to our friends, to our neighbors. And if you remember last week, we talked about the fact that Jesus actually told the disciples that they would do greater things than he did. As a matter of fact, he said, "Whoever believes in me, whoever believes in me will do greater things." Do you believe in Jesus? If we believe in Jesus, we have the ability, according to Jesus, if you believe the words of Jesus, to do greater things. That's what the baptism of the Holy Spirit was all about. It's the gift that God has given us to do the works that He's called us to do. Because in and of ourselves, we can't do anything. But through the power of Jesus, we can do all things. He's called us to be the hope of glory to those around us, to those who don't yet know Him. And we concluded last week by talking about the two different aspects we experience in regard to the Holy Spirit. There are two different aspects talked in the Scriptures about the Holy Spirit in regards to us. First, there's what we refer to as the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And then there's what we're going to talk about this morning, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And again, the indwelling is this change that happens in our lives when we say yes to Jesus, when we accept Him as Lord and Savior of our life. When we say yes to Jesus, the Scriptures say His Spirit comes and dwells in us. This is what Paul is referring to in 1 Corinthians 3:16 when he says, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst?" Which means, if we've said yes to Jesus, then we have His Spirit living in us. Whether we realize it or not, His Spirit comes and lives in us. And this indwelling can be illustrated by my gift here. If you were here last week, you remember my nice, pretty gift, right? I wrapped it myself. I didn't do too bad, right? That's what happens when you grow up with three sisters. You learn things that a lot of other guys don't learn, right? And so this is my beautiful gift, and it's a representation of the gift that we receive when we say yes to Jesus. When we say yes to Jesus, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's ours, right? We get to take it wherever we go. This is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit coming and becoming a part of us. We have it. It's ours. It's us taking ownership, right, of this package. This is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But we weren't given this gift to just carry it around. Because what good is a gift if we don't open it up, right? If we just keep it closed, what good is a gift if we don't open it up? And you see, it's the opening of the gift that is the illustration of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to dive into that this morning. It's actually using what's inside the gift. It's using the gift that God has given us. It's choosing to receive the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can be the hope of glory that God has called and has intended us to be. The problem is there are many of us who choose to follow Jesus, right? We receive the gift. We choose to follow Jesus. Look, I'm following Jesus. But we put it in our backpacks, right? Or we just kind of carry it around as some sort of badge, like, look, I'm a Christian. Don't mess with me. Oh, can't you see? I got the gift. It's right here. I'm a Christian. I got a big giant C tattooed on my forehead, right? We carry it around. The Holy Spirit, it's in there. It's in the box. God's amazing gifts are right inside, but if we don't open it up, we fail to experience the full aspect of God's gift for our life. And as I mentioned last week, many people are afraid to open the box, fearful of what might be inside of it, right? I know many people who hear the phrase, baptism of the Holy Spirit and cringe. Or they hear the pastor say, we're going to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they book out the doors, right? They run the other direction. And that's because we've seen pastors, people, churches abuse these amazing gifts. We've seen the baptism of the Holy Spirit sometimes turned into some kind of a freak show where it's more about feelings. It's more about really ourselves than it is about Jesus. The purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is to empower us for the work of Jesus. To empower us to what? Go and be His witnesses. That's what Jesus said, right? In Acts 1:8, you will be my witnesses. You will receive power to be my witnesses. It's not so that we can go and put on these shows of grandeur, right? Look it, I'm a prophetic. Look it, I can do this, I can do that. The problem is there's nothing wrong with those things. We want to see those things. But so often when those things begin to happen, we act as if we're the ones who have done it. We make it about us. And we scare people away from this beautiful gift that God has given us. It shouldn't be weird. It shouldn't be something freaky that scares people away. It should be something beautiful and amazing that actually draws people into His presence. And so this morning, I want to take some time to actually open up the gift, to take a closer look at what those gifts are that God wants to pour out upon us, upon His people. Now, one of the things we have to understand is that there are many, many gifts that God wants to give us. Inside this box, inside this gift, is multiple gifts that God wants to use for His glory. And the gifts that God gives you or me or the person next to you or around you or across the street or in the church down the road might be different. We don't all get all the gifts. Sometimes He gives to one this, to one that. And so these gifts are different. And what we get might be different than the person next to us. Because there are many gifts, but God is the one who distributes these gifts. We don't get to choose. Well, I want that, right? Many of us want that. I want to be that. I want to do that. I want to be up in front of people. I want the glory. We don't get to choose that. God chooses that. There are many gifts, but God chooses, and we need to understand that. Now, Paul, he talks about these gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 through 11. So before we open up the box, right, and begin to reveal what they are, I want to take a look at this section of Scripture. And so we're going to read 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 through 11. It says this: to one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. So in this scripture, Paul describes some of the gifts that we can receive through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so I want to take a moment this morning to begin to open up this gift, right? To take a closer look at some of these gifts and to help us see that they're not really scary. They're wonderful gifts that God wants to impart to us. And as I mentioned, because of time, we're only going to look at the first four this morning. Then we'll finish with the last four next week. But in the scripture there, the first gift that Paul mentions in verse 8 is what he calls a message of wisdom, which when we open this gift, what we often refer to it, and you'll hear in churches a lot, is that it's referred to as words of wisdom. It's a gift that God gives us, these words of wisdom. And what are words of wisdom? Sounds cool, but what does it mean? This is where God gives us a specific word for someone that might need some guidance or some wisdom or maybe just some encouragement in that moment. And these words that God gives us for them maybe help them with something that they're dealing with. Maybe they've been wondering about something, praying about something, struggling with something that they don't have an answer to. How they don't know how to respond. They don't know what to do. And it's these words of wisdom that God gives us to speak to them. And I believe this is one of those gifts that many of us operate in and we don't even realize it. We just think we're smart, right? Have you ever had someone ask you something, a spiritual question, something's going on, they ask you for some wisdom of some sight for some reason, and out of nowhere, you share something profound and meaningful, right? So much so that as you hear it come out of your mouth, you're like, whoa, where did that come from? That was pretty good, wasn't it? And we start to pat ourselves on the back. But here's the thing. More often than not, that wasn't us. It was the Holy Spirit at work in us, giving us words of wisdom. As a person who doesn't retain knowledge really well, if you know me, I've talked about that. I can study for a test and pass it tomorrow. But if you give me that same test in 2 months, I'm going to fail it. I can speak to you a message beautifully 1 week, and you ask me about that message 3 or 4 weeks down the road, and I won't remember half of it. Right? And so someone who doesn't retain knowledge real well, it's amazing to me, though, how often I remember important scriptures or important biblical truths when I need to. When someone comes to me and they're stressed or struggling, and God gives me these words to speak to them that I'm like, again, where did that come from? It came from the Holy Spirit. Several times throughout the scripture, Jesus tells his disciples, don't fear about the future. Don't fear about the things that you're going to say, how you're going to what you're going to do. There are a few different times where he actually is talking about the future, and he tells them, the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say. That's words of wisdom. When the Holy Spirit speaks to us and gives us the words to say, it enables us to speak words of wisdom that help and encourage others, often in times of difficulty and struggle. And it's an amazing gift that God gives to many of us through the power of His Spirit. But again, we have to open the gift and we have to pull those gifts out. We have to dive in and see what God wants to pour into our lives. Well, the next thing Paul talks about here in verse 8 is very similar. He refers to it as a message of knowledge, but it's often referred to in churches as words of knowledge. These words of knowledge that God will give us in specific moments and specific times. It's where the Holy Spirit will give us supernatural knowledge of things that we wouldn't know about on our own. An example of this might be the Lord telling us to go and say something to someone. Maybe God impresses something on our heart, maybe a scripture or something to share with someone. And what we say to them is exactly what they needed to hear in that moment in time. And this is something that we couldn't have known on our own. We couldn't have known that they needed that. We couldn't have known that what we were saying was speaking to something that we had no idea about. Oftentimes, when we do this, it baffles people, right? Because they're like, how in the world did you know that? What made you give me that scripture? How did you know that's what I was dealing with? That's something that God was speaking to me about. That's something I was struggling through. It baffles people. And it's because the only reason we knew it or could even know of it is because God spoke it to us. He gave us these words of knowledge to come alongside them and to help them. Another example of words of knowledge that many of us in this room experienced firsthand would be the first part of the miracle we experienced at our anniversary service last year. You've heard me talk about this if you weren't here. But if you were here, you may remember that as we were worshiping, I felt like the Lord was whispering something in my ear. He was telling me there was someone here that had an issue with their left ankle and that he wanted to heal them. I only knew this because the Lord spoke it to me through the power of the Holy Spirit. I wouldn't have known that someone had an issue with their ankle. I wouldn't have known to pray for it if the Holy Spirit hadn't revealed it to me. Out of that word of knowledge, we got to see an amazing miracle of God healing Mark's ankle, right, that had been shattered years ago that I had no idea about. And so this gift that we refer to as words of knowledge, it gives us insight to speak things and share things with people that impact their lives in powerful ways. And unfortunately, I think this is one of those gifts that a lot of times we miss out on because of our fear. We get this sense that we should go and say something to someone. And we're like, where did that come from, right? I don't know if they're really dealing with that. I don't know. If I go and talk to them, I might look like a weirdo or something, right? So what do? We don't do it. We talk ourselves out of it. I've done it before. I also know that in the midst of worship that morning of our anniversary, I was trying to talk myself out of it. I was trying to tell myself, whatever, Darren, you're just making things up. That can't really be the Lord. Come on, I've seen other pastors do that, but you've never done that, Darren. You've never had something like that. You're just making it up. And all these thoughts, you know, are going through my head. Did I really hear God? Is that God? And then the doubts of, well, what if I get up there and I pray and nobody gets healed? Nothing happens. And then you start thinking, well, what are people in the church going to think? Well, they might leave the church. They might think I'm a crazy. And we allow these fears to keep us from doing what we're called to do. But thankfully, in that moment, I didn't let fear keep me from sharing what I believe the Lord wanted me to share. And we got to experience a miracle. How many times do we miss out on miracles? This gift that God might choose to give us at different times. It's an amazing gift, and it's meant to help people and encourage people. And so if you feel that God is stirring something in you, as long as it's encouraging and uplifting, because that's what these gifts are about. So if it's encouraging and uplifting, I challenge you, get over your fear. Go and share it, because there's a good chance it's actually a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom that the Holy Spirit has given you to bless someone and to encourage them. And again, these gifts are meant to lift up, not to tear down. So if the word that comes into your mind isn't nice, it's probably not the Holy Spirit. That's where we get messed up, right? One of my favorite stories of correction in a church, my brother-in-law, he's a pastor, but before he was a pastor, he was in a church service, and it was a Sunday service where they were allowing the gifts of the Spirit to move, and like I told you, God moves, but sometimes we can make it about ourselves. And so there was maybe a word given, some prophetic words, and then this lady stood up, And if you remember back then, they would say, "Thus saith the Lord," right? And she began to spout this horrible, awful thing about the people in the church, and that they were, you know, I don't know exactly what, but it sounded like, you know, like, "You're going to go to hell, you're going to burn if you don't, blah, blah, blah," you know, this whole thing. "Thus saith the Lord." And I love one of the elders of the church stood up and said, "I did not say those words. Thus saith the Lord." Right? If it's not encouraging, if it's not uplifting, it's probably just you and your selfishness being upset at them or angry at them. Don't say those things. But if God's speaking things to you that would be uplifting or encouraging, what could it hurt to share those things with them? And more often than not, it's the words of wisdom, the words of knowledge that God is giving you to share with Him or with them, whoever it may be. The next gift that Paul talks about in verse 9. I say, I need a drink. My lips are getting caught up here. The next thing Paul talks about in verse 9 is faith. And it's what we refer to often as an increased faith, right? Because we talk about it, it's faith. When we come to know Jesus, it's faith. But there's this increased faith that happens when we open up the Holy Spirit, when we open up that gift and allow Him to pour into our lives. And I think this is probably one of the most common gifts that we see people experience when it comes to the baptism and the power of the Holy Spirit. It's that boldness, right, that enables us to step out when we normally wouldn't step out, right? It's that boldness that we actually saw from Peter at Pentecost when the Spirit fell upon him, right? The Holy Spirit fell upon him, and then all of a sudden we see this boldness. If you remember, Peter was the one that had denied Jesus on the night that he was arrested, and not just once, but three times he denied Jesus. This believer that said, "Lord, I will die with you." And then when they came to take Jesus, "I don't know him. Curse you. I don't know him," right? Three times he denied that he knew Jesus. But after being empowered with the Holy Spirit, that this same man stood up and he preached the gospel to the same people who called for Jesus to be crucified several weeks earlier. What was different about him? It was the power of the Holy Spirit. It was this gift of increased faith in his life. It's a gift that gives us boldness, a boldness to speak, a boldness to pray with power and authority to see God's will accomplished here on earth. It's that same boldness that Peter had when he said, "Silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." It's this boldness that enables us to accomplish God's will here on earth. It's that childlike type of faith, right? That completely and wholeheartedly trusts in God. My God is bigger than anyone. My daddy can kick your daddy's rear. Right? It's that childlike faith, that boldness. It's the kind of faith that I had as a little five-year-old. You've heard me tell the story when my dad came home with a broken leg and a cast. And I said, "Dad, you don't need that cast. Jesus can heal you." And my dad, he believed this little five-year-old. 2 days after breaking his leg, he went to the doctor and said, "Remove my cast. Jesus has healed me." And he walked out of the doctor with his leg completely healed. Childlike faith. This increased faith, it's an amazing gift of the Spirit that empowers us to rise above ourselves and fully trust the power and the sovereignty of God, the God of the world who created all things. And I believe that this is one of those gifts that we should be praying for, that we should be contending for. Lord, increase my faith. Help me to grow in my faith. We need to be asking for that increased faith, to trust in Him and to trust in His will for our lives, especially in the midst of the heartache and brokenness that we are experiencing in our world. We need that faith that helps us to keep moving forward. The kind of faith that enables us to be bold and trust in Him and His will for our lives, where we're willing to surrender to Him. Amen? And then the next gift, and the last one we're going to talk about this morning that Paul talks about in verses 9 and 10, are actually two gifts, but I've kind of lumped them together as one. And it's the gift of healing and miracles. It's an amazing gift. We all want to experience healing and miracles. We talked about this earlier, but in the Gospels, Jesus, He performed many healings and miracles. And He told us, He told the disciples, and anyone who believed would do greater things than He did. That they too, the disciples, that us too, could see healing and miracles through the power of the Holy Spirit. Peter, Paul, many of the apostles, they had this amazing gift, right? They had this amazing gift. God used them to lay hands on people. Or we talked about a few weeks ago where Peter just walked by and his shadow brought healing to people. Where miracles took place. All throughout the book of Acts, we actually see miracle after miracle. Lame people being able to walk. Blind people being able to see. This amazing gift of the Holy Spirit was at work where we saw all kinds of healing and miracles take place. Paul, who we first knew as Saul in the Bible, right? This evil man who was actually going around and killing Christians. But what happened? He experienced an amazing miracle of new life in Jesus Christ. That's the best miracle we can experience. To go from being dead to life. And yeah, we saw people raised from the dead, right? They're physically. But what could be better than a spiritual resurrection? When we rise from being spiritually dead, from a life that was heading towards no God, right? Heading towards a place where we were no longer in the presence of God. That's hell. We don't think about that. We think, oh, big deal. I don't follow Jesus half my life anyways. This world would be nothing but hurt and pain if it weren't for the fact that God was present. Because anything good, anything lovely, wonderful, those things that we like to experience in life, that's God. You pull Him out of the equation, that's death. That's spiritual death. That's life without the presence of our Savior. What greater miracle could that be? We saw that in Paul. Numerous places in Acts did we see healings and miracles. And I believe God still empowers people today with this gift. Our denominational scripture, we've talked about it. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Right? Which means we believe that the power of Jesus never expires. The same power that enabled Jesus to see healings and miracles back then is the same power that enables us to see healings and miracles today. So we need to be people who are operating in the power of the Holy Spirit and praying, contending for the healings and miracles. We're going to talk more about healings and miracles in a few weeks. But there are some amazing gifts all of these that we've talked about today. These are some amazing gifts that God wants to give to us, that God wants to pour out upon each of us if we simply allow Him to. But here's the thing, it's going to take a little faith. It's going to take us being obedient, trusting in the Lord. When we hear those words going, this is encouraging, this is uplifting, I trust, Lord, that this is You. Trusting in Him and stepping out to do those things He's called us to do so that ultimately we get to that place where we are doing greater things than He did. We're going to stop here at this gift this morning, and we're going to finish the next four as we continue our series next week. But I want to wrap up by just reminding us, we've been given this wonderful gift. God gave us this wonderful gift that He has put in our lives. We have been given the Holy Spirit so that we can live the lives that God has called us to live. But we have to open it up. We have to allow Him to pour out His Spirit upon us. The gifts that are inside, they aren't scary. I know for some people here, they've seen scary things, but they aren't scary. People have abused them. People have made them out to be things that they were never intended to be. But in reality, they are beautiful expressions of the God of this universe that enable us to live empowered lives in a fallen, broken world. They empower us to go beyond ourselves, beyond our capabilities, so that we can accomplish His will and His way in our lives. Who doesn't want a gift like that? My encouragement to all of us as we continue to unpack what it means to experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit is simply this. Be curious. Be curious. Ask God to reveal His truth and begin to pray for God to pour out His Spirit upon us so that we can live the lives that He's calling us to live, so that we can be the hope of glory to those around us. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You so much for Your word. And Lord, I thank You so much for the Holy Spirit, Lord. I know that Your Spirit changed everything. The outpouring of Your Spirit enables us all to be able to live the lives that You've called us to live. It enables us to go above and beyond ourselves. In and of ourselves, Lord, we're nothing. But through You, through the power of Your Spirit, we can do all things. We can live the lives that You have called us to live. We can be empowered, Lord, to see You make a difference in our world. Make a difference in our lives, Lord. And so we thank You for Your word. We thank You for what You've been speaking to us over the last few weeks and that You're going to continue to speak to us. And Lord, we give it all to You. We want to be the men and women of God that You've called us to be. And even as I say that, I know some people, that there's this fear. What is the Lord going to ask me? What is He going to challenge me to do? What is the power of the Holy Spirit? What is that going to mean for my life? It means that we get to be who You've called us to be. Help us, Lord. Help us to simply be the men and women of God that You've called us to be, empowered by Your Spirit to make a difference in the world around us. Even if it's just our family, even if it's just our neighbors, whatever it is, whatever You have called us to do is important to You. Help us to walk in obedience and to live the life that You've called us to live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.